Welcome to your GCSE Sociology Revision Podcast on Education. I'm so glad you're here because this topic is absolutely fascinating and it comes up in the exam every single year. So, whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to help you feel confident and exam ready. Let's start with the big picture. What is education actually for? Sociologists don't all agree on this, and that disagreement is exactly what your exam will test you on. The first perspective we need to cover is functionalism. Functionalists like Emile Durkheim and Torquat Parsons see education as a positive force in society. Durkheim argued that education performs two key functions. First, it creates social solidarity. It teaches shared values and norms that hold society together. Second, Durkheim said education teaches specialist skills needed by the economy. Parsons built on this. He said schools act as a bridge between the family and wider society. In the family, you're treated as special, but in school and later in work, you're judged on your achievements. Parsons called this the shift from particularistic to universalistic values. School is also, according to Parsons, meritocratic, meaning you get rewarded based on talent and hard work, not who your parents are. Meritocracy. Write it down. Examiners love it. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Not everyone agrees with the functionalist view. Marxists think education is far more sinister. Bowles and Guintis, writing in 1976, argued that education reproduces inequality. Their key idea is the correspondence principle, the idea that relationships in school directly mirror relationships in the workplace. Just as workers must obey their bosses, students must obey their teachers. The hidden curriculum, all the unofficial lessons schools teach, like punctuality and obedience, prepares working class kids to become compliant workers. Willis's 1977 study, Learning to Labour, is brilliant evidence here. He studied a group of 12 working class boys, he called them the lads, and found that they actively rejected school. Their resistance actually led them straight into manual jobs. Willis showed that working class kids can see through the system, but they still end up reproducing it. Now let's talk about feminist perspectives. Feminists argue that education historically disadvantaged girls. Anne Oakley's work on gender socialisation is key here. However, the gender gap has actually reversed. Girls now outperform boys at GCSE and A-level, but boys still dominate in subjects like physics and computing, and men still dominate in the highest paid professions. So feminists argue that while formal equality has improved, hidden inequalities remain. Let's now turn to factors affecting educational achievement. There are three main categories: social class, gender, and ethnicity. Social class is probably the most significant factor. Working class pupils consistently underachieve compared to middle class pupils. Externally, material deprivation matters enormously. Bourdieu's concept of cultural capital is also vital here. Middle-class families possess cultural capital, the knowledge, attitudes, and behaviours valued by the education system. Basil Bernstein identified differences in speech codes too. Middle-class children use an elaborated code with complex vocabulary, which matches the language of schools. Internally, labelling is crucial. Howard Becker's research showed that teachers often label pupils based on their class background. This links to the self-fulfilling prophecy, a concept you absolutely must know. If a teacher labels a student as low ability, that student may internalise that label and confirm the teacher's original expectation. Rosie's Law and Jacobson's 1968 experiment demonstrated this power effect. Teachers' expectations show a student's self-worth. Rosie's 1991 study, Deep Sound Comprehensive, shows that strongly reinforced coefficients too.
Now let's talk about ethnicity and educational achievement.
Research shows significant variation between ethnic groups. Black Caribbean pupils and pupils from some other minority ethnic backgrounds tend to underachieve relative to their potential. Gilborn and Udell's research highlighted that teachers' expectations can be racialized, meaning ethnicity shapes how teachers perceive and interact with students. Institutional racism, where the policies and practices of schools disadvantage certain ethnic groups, is also a key concept here. However, pupils from Chinese and Indian backgrounds consistently outperform the national average, which sociologists explain through cultural factors, parental attitudes, and community support networks. Now, let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where I can really help you pick up extra marks. First, the most common mistake candidates make is confusing internal and external factors. Internal factors are things inside school: labelling, streaming, teacher expectations, the hidden curriculum. External factors are things outside school: material deprivation, cultural capital, parental attitudes, speech codes. Keep these clearly separate in your answers. Second, don't just list perspectives. The exam rewards comparison and evaluation. So instead of saying functionalists think this and Marxists think that, say something like, while functionalists argue that education promotes meritocracy, Marxists counter that this is a myth. The correspondence principle shows that education actually reproduces class inequality. That kind of evaluative language earns you the higher marks. Third, use the correct terminology throughout. Words like meritocracy, cultural capital, hidden curriculum, correspondence principle, self-fulfilling prophecy, and labelling are your golden ticket to AO1 marks. Examiners are specifically looking for these terms. Fourth, when you see a question with the command word explain, use the PEEL structure. Point, make your sociological claim. Evidence, name a specific study or theorist. Explanation, show how the evidence supports your point. Link, connect back to the question. This structure keeps your answer focused and earns marks at every stage. Fifth, for longer evaluate or assess questions, always include a counter-argument. If you're arguing that social class is the most important factor in educational achievement, acknowledge that gender and ethnicity also play a role. Then explain why you still prioritise class. That balanced approach is what separates a level 3 answer from a level 4. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the correspondence principle? Answer. Bowles and Gintis's idea that the relationships and values in school mirror those in the workplace, preparing working class students for obedient roles in the capitalist economy. Question 2. What is cultural capital? Answer. Bourdieu's concept, the knowledge, skills, attitudes and behaviours that middle class families possess, which are valued by the education system and give their children an advantage. Question 3. What is the self-fulfilling prophecy? Answer. When a teacher's label of a student, positive or negative, causes the student to behave in ways that confirm that label, making the original prediction come true. Question 4. Name one study that supports the idea of labelling in schools. Answer. Howard Becker's research on the ideal people, or Rosenthal and Jacobson's 1968 Pygmalion in the Classroom experiment. Question 5. What did Willis find in his 1977 study? Answer. That working class lads rejected school culture, but their resistance ironically led them into the manual working class jobs they were trying to resist. Brilliant. Now let's wrap up. Today we've covered the 3 main sociological perspectives on education: functionalism, Marxism, and feminism. We've explored the factors affecting educational achievement, social class, gender, and ethnicity, We've looked at internal school processes like labelling, streaming, and the self-fulfilling prophecy. And we've gone through exam technique to help you structure your answers for maximum marks. The key things to take away: always compare perspectives rather than just listing them. Use specific named studies and theorists. Keep internal and external factors separate. And use that appeal structure for explain questions. You got this. Go back over your notes, test yourself on those key terms. And remember, sociology is about understanding the world around you. The more you connect these ideas to real life, the easier they'll stick. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.